morning in affiliations, with friendships, etc. And so the word love is bandied about so much, and we don't really understand in depth what love really means. But I'll just give one statement, which I'll come back to later on, and that's just three words. God is love. God embodies love. When Jesus walked on the earth, he was the embodiment of love. And as has been mentioned in other backgrounds, when Jesus experienced the same human emotions, anxieties, and oppositions and various other things against him, it was love that sustained him on every very angle. So I like to say, as a text, I brought up in the Baptist, and they always had a text. And the text in the 1 Corinthians 13 is in the very beginning. And now I will show you the most excellent way. And what the Apostle Paul was trying to say, look, you've heard it all. Yes, you're gifted. Yes, you speak in tongues. Yes, you do. You heal. Yes, you do a lot of other things. But without love, it all comes to nothing. It's a little bit of a downer, really, isn't it? Because we can pride ourselves on our accomplishments, and we can pride ourselves on what we've attained. But without love, it all comes to nothing. It doesn't mean anything, as gifted as you might be. One of the most chilling passages in the Bible, I haven't got a reference for it readily, but it's a parable about the last days. And when the people come before him, and they're saying, well, we did this in your name, we did that in your name, and we even did healings in your name. And he says, get thee far from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. And that, of course, is the kernel and the center of our Christian faith. Knowing Christ. Actually knowing Christ. And how many of us can put hand up and say, knowing Christ? Well, I do have a date. Some people have dates, some people don't. You grow into the sense that Christ and God is part of their life. Others don't, but I can get the 30th of October 1954 and say that was the day I stepped forward and I made an absolute commitment and not look back from that time, knowing Christ. So come back then to this word, love. What is it? It's sentimental, yes, it's feelings, it's actions, it's a lot of things. But I think what epitomizes it is that is an attitude of the heart. My five-year-old grandson said to me this week, he said, Granddad, I love you. And I thought, well, he meant that. But then his two-year-old brother, when we were in the swimming pool and I splashed him, he said, silly Granddad. I thought, well, to be judged by a two-year-old, it puts you in your place, doesn't it? But yes, children do speak from the heart. And I think when Donald said that to me, he means it, you know. So we are, as human beings, we're emotional. We are emotional people. We are emotional beings. That's natural. That's part of our life. And that's reflected in our everyday situations. It's reflected very much in our culture. I think we can be grateful, although we live in a largely secular culture today in Europe. But nevertheless, the foundations come out from the Christian faith. And such things that people will say just take for granted now, like education and health and things like that. Well, they sprung from a caring Christian basis. And that was the basis of them. And there are people who are in both those professions who may not be Christians. But nevertheless, it sprung from a caring basis, both those two things I've mentioned. So, therefore, we have this. We have this background, this foundation, if you like, of love, which comes from our own culture, which is there. And of course, we can, yes, take it for granted. We can just let it all flow over us. But it is part. So it's actions again, isn't it? It comes down to actions. And of course, I mean, again, we read it, one of the first things. I speak in tongues, the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. So without love, it means nothing. So I come back to that again, at the risk of keep repeating myself, but without love, we are nothing. So actions, yes. Actions are what mean the most. Actions are what really express what we are. Now, I'm not going to say that Christians can be exclusive of good things, and not by any means. There are people who are well-intentioned who do good things. But when it comes to the understanding the love of God, it's the actions from where they spring. And I don't know Greek language, but I understand that there are three different words that express love. And although we talk about the English language being quite broad and quite expressive, but it's quite narrow in other ways, it actually doesn't actually say a lot. And I think I have to say this, the word love is one of those words, because we mean it for a whole variety of things, from a pop star to genuine sort of caring. But in the Greek language, there are three words that describe love. One is the normal human one, which is philia and eros, which is the two we experience in our normal ones. But the love of God is a higher love. It comes from a higher meaning. And so therefore, do we have that higher love? And I would say, naturally, we don't. It's not easy to love people. It's not easy to love other people. Even within the Christian context sometimes, it's not always easy to love, because we are human beings. We rub up against each other. We don't always find it easy. And I've worked in teams, both secular teams and Christian teams. And I think the distinction that Christian teams have is that we do have that bonding of the love of God, which bonds us together when perhaps we don't understand each other in other aspects. And in secular situations, we might walk away. But in Christian ones, we bond together because of the love of God, that higher love that comes from God. So the question is, do we have that love of God? Do we have it in our hearts? I've mentioned this before when it comes to languages, and I think I was fortunate in having to live and work and function in another language. And I can only mention the Thai language because it's more expressive in some ways than others, more expressive than English can be. And when it comes to the love of God, I love, like this verse I've quoted before, Romans chapter 5, verse 5. For the love of God is, in the older version says, shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. And the more modern one says, the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now we understand poured, and there's no, yes there is some here. If I poured this out, they'd make an awful mess on the floor. But that would be the end of it, because it would be empty, wouldn't it? But the love of God, as mentioned in Romans 5:5, is a constant pouring, just never finishing. It keeps on pouring and pouring. And in the Thai language, there are two words for love. One is to just pour and finish and done with. The other is a continuous pouring, never stopping. And I think that describes the love of God better than any other description I can think about. The love of God is always there. Christ is always there. We've just gone through the Easter readings, and we've gone through the character of the Apostle Peter. And having done a Bible study group with it over the last 3 months on the person of Peter, I kind of feel I know him much better. His heart was in the right place, but his actions weren't always. He shied away, did a run, and yet then came back. He was so emotional, was so emotional. And he's so very typical, I think, of average Mr. and Mrs. Average person. The Apostle Paul being different, he was much more of an academic. But Peter was not. Peter was just average. And yet Jesus was always there for him, always there ready to reinstate, always there to bring him, always there to correct him when he needed that little check. But that was Peter, wasn't it? Peter was the one who thought he was showing the love of God by drawing his sword and cutting off the high priest's ear when they were coming to Jesus. But then half an hour later, he'd run away. But that was Peter, wasn't it? And I think he's so very, very typical of so many of us. How can we show a consistent love of God and try and put our feelings to one side to understand what the love of God meant? So therefore, the love of God, what is it? It's poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. It's a superior gift. We're talking about gifts, but I think the love of God really is a gift. It is a gift that we've got that is extraordinary, outside of our normal functioning. Something that is given to us. The love of God, a superior gift. So it actuates our whole personality. It lights up our whole personality. It gives us an impetus. It gives us a motive, if you like. And I mentioned my own conversion date when I first stepped out in that Baptist church all those years ago, 30th of October 1954. Now, but since then, the Christian faith has actuated my life. It's lit up my life. It's led me on to do things that I would never have had the courage to do. I might be richer, perhaps, if I hadn't done those things. If I'd not become a Christian, I might be living down in the Bournemouth area where I was brought up, living somewhere on the outside in a nice little village with 2.1 children. That's the average, isn't it? And a lot more money in a much bigger car. I might be all those things. But the Christian life motivated me to go on in education, to go on from one thing and then the next. And I wouldn't have even had the courage to stand here without the Christian faith motivating me, because my parents were those kind of people. You just kept your head below the parapet. You didn't show yourself up too much. Some of that I've inherited, I think. But in the main, no, the impetus has been the Christian faith. And that comes back again to the love of God. So the Christian love, yes, it's separate, it's eternal, it's blessed. And I should have used that word, blessed. Do we love each other? Do we love our... No, let me narrow that down a little bit more. Do we love ourselves? Now, that's a strange thing to say, but the prayer for the day at 5:45 in the mornings, I listen to it sometimes on the radio, and I have my earphones in my ear. And this week it's been the Coptic Bishop of the United Kingdom. And he said a strange thing one morning. He said, do you love yourself? And, well, you think we're not supposed to love ourselves. God loves us. I'm not worthy. Hang on. Do you love yourself? And he put it in a better framework. He said, look, God loves you. God gave himself for you. We've just gone through Easter. Jesus gave himself because of his love for you. Do you love yourself? Yes, we're entitled to love ourselves. We're entitled to thank God. We're entitled to say, yes, I am loved. Yes, I do love myself. Now, that's not being selfish. That's being practical. Yes, I love myself because he loves me. That's why I love myself. So I thought that was a different slant on things, a different way of putting it again. Mind, he said something another morning that I couldn't go with. But anyway, there you go. You can't agree with everything, can you? But that was a good one. I thought that was a little nugget. And then we come also, finally, objectively, how does this actually work out? Well, John 21:15 onwards, Jesus is asking the question of Peter, do you love me? And three times Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? And Peter's getting a bit bristly about this. You know that I love you. And Jesus puts it into perspective. Feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep. In other words, he's saying, love one another. And I think it is only in, we've used this word family so much of Christians, haven't we, in our Christian church. It's only so much in the Christian family, that we can really love each other. Because, yes, I mentioned, we were all so very, very different. I know when I went back to Thailand 3 years ago and I hadn't seen people in 10, 15 more years. Yet immediately there was a bond there. It had never left. It was there. They're from a completely different culture to ours. And yet it was there. The bond was there. And Yod, who was pedaling along on his old bike along the dike, he nearly fell off his bike when he saw me. Ajahn, Ajahn Alan. Well, that was my name, Ajahn. And he nearly fell off his bike just seeing me with the delight of that reunion. We hadn't seen each other for years. And, of course, it followed through a little bit of a joke. The Thai love to give you a little, they call it a memorial, a little picture of themselves. And I had this picture of this young man with all this hair popping in. And I said, oh, I'm looking for this person. And he whipped his hat off and it showed her. He said, oh, Pum Go Hai Bai Leo. All his hair had gone. It was the same person. And we joked and we laughed together because there was immediately that Christian bond, and I dare say of love. And of course, Yod, I guess now he's gone on. He may not, I don't know, because we can't communicate, because I can read some Thai, but I can't write it. And there is that Christian bond, which is extraordinary, if one wants to use that word. That extraordinary word. So the love of God, then. Do we love ourselves? I come back to the final word, what Jesus said to Peter. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. And I think in our ordinary lives we can be doing that. And I'm sure that all of us will have some members of our family who don't know the Lord or are not following the Lord. Yes, it is our love expressed in ourselves, in our attitude, in our love. We should be seeing later on, as you know, it's Joyce's birthday today, and we should be seeing some of them later on. And I would hope that we can be expressing love to some of those who are not following the Lord. But the greatest gift is love. And I start where I finished. And now I will show you the most excellent way, the excellent way of love. Praise God.